We continue with our focus discussion on the symbols of Hajj. And what I'd like to look at is the journey of Hajj and how this depicts death and the year after. A Haji leaves his home, bids farewell to all his dear ones and relatives, and departs from them just before he sets off alone, himself or with his spouse. And from there proceeds to another country, as though to another world, leaving behind all those things which he was attached to, which had occupied his time, his house, his family, his factory, his farms, his company, his friends. Death is the same. Therefore, when one dies, one leaves behind your home, your family, friends, country, factory, everything beloved to you. This should be the thoughts of a Haji when leaving for the house of Allah, that in the same way as I'm leaving old worldly things behind for a short period, similarly, that time shall soon come when without a choice, I will have to leave all of this behind forever. After that, when the Haji gets into his car, moves towards the airport, and he begins to move further and further away from his house and his dear ones, so does his dear ones, relatives, friends, when he passes away, will lift up his janazah. Having lifted it onto their shoulders, they begin to move him further and further away from everything that was beloved to him. So he departs like the janazah being carried to the grave. When the Haji leaves, some will come to bid farewell to him at home, others will go to the airport, some will go to the viewing deck and stand at the viewing deck and wave at the plane. The position of the deceased is similar, where his friends are similar in the sense that some will come to his house to have a last look at his face, others will go and just perform the salah, janazah salah, some will come to the Qabristan, and others will even go into the grave. The real friends, the faithful ones, are the ones who will go into the grave. With regards to the journey, while the Hajj is on the trip, some companions on the trip are such that at times they will see to his comfort, his happiness, thereby making the journey a happy and pleasant one. Others will be such ill-tempered, quarrelsome, that at every step they will make this journey a very unpleasant ordeal for the Haji. Exactly similar to that is the circumstances of the deceased one. With him will be his deeds, which will be alongside him till the end. His good deeds will indeed cause him great comfort and pleasure on this journey to the Akhirah, and the evil deeds will indeed cause him severe pain and suffering. The good deeds will remain with him in the grave, and will be in the form of a handsome person, while the evil deeds will remain with us in the grave in the form of an exceedingly ugly and fearsome person. The greatest comfort a Haji enjoys in Hajj comes from the money and provisions which he or she had taken with and prepared for the journey. Likewise, the greatest comfort one enjoys in the year after death is that which comes from the good deeds performed before one's death. Sometimes in Hajj, a person, due to lack of money, urgently requires more money. You can imagine how happy one becomes if that which you need urgently sent to you by some near relative or friend. How thankful you will be for that. Similarly, how thankful our deceased are that after our demise, friends, family, children give charity, recite Quran, perform salah, and send the rewards and blessings to the deceased. That will surely reach them, because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that. In the next phase of the journey, the Haji then passes through many dangerous, unpleasant things. At any point on the airports, especially if you look at our own airport, our Tambo, you may be pickpocketed, your luggage may be stolen, you may have to pass by ill-tempered government officers, search your luggage, query your documents, your cash, your dollars, all of that. All these things I experience and reminds us of the various things that one will have to experience in the grave in the form of Munkar and Nakir that will come to question us. Our Iman will be tested. Snakes and scorpions and various insects will be in the grave to punish us. In addition to this, each one of us will have to have our book of deeds with us. Every person's faith will be attached to your neck. So certainly, that is the comparison. If we go further, there are wealthy hajis, instead of having to go through all these bitter and unpleasant experiences, go through the normal passport, immigration, custom formalities, unharassed, experience no inconvenience, and reaches Hijaz, Saudi Arabia, their destination a short while, first class, away, all along the way, VIP, first class, move this side, sir, this is the side for the first class passengers. Likewise, those who toiled in this world and successfully accumulated many good deeds, they won't even feel the ordeal of the testing of Munkar and Nakir, nor will they suffer any other punishment of the grave on the journey to their destination of the Akhirah. They will reach there in a short time, and then until Qiyamah, they will rest in great comfort, like a bride on her first night, delighted and happy, completely aware of the hardships of the surroundings around her. Then, the Haji moves into the next stage, where he adorns himself with two white cloths worn by him in the state of Ihram. And this brings to mind the kafan. The kafan that the Haji, that the janaza, the mate, will have to wear. When the Haji says, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Inna alhamda. وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ. That, Ya Allah, I am at thy service, I am present. That is uttered. The Haji, while saying that, should remember the day of Qiyamah, where all people will be called upon by the angel who will blow the horn to assemble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning. As the journey continues, the Haji enters into the blessed city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, which brings safety and peace. مَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا. It's a place where Allah's mercy is sought and assured. Yet on account of our misdeeds, we should be uneasy and overcome with grief. We should not find peace, even a place of peace. But in Makkah is a place of peace and security. Therefore, throughout this one stay in Makkah, we're reminded constantly of the fact this place that offers us peace to us now, due to the mercy and the favor of Allah. Look at the Kaaba. Looking at the Kaaba, that should bring to us the sight of the master of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. That when you look at the Kaaba, it should be done with great fear and respect. So in that case, it will remind us of viewing the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the grandeur of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. While you make tawaf of the Kaaba, it brings to mind those angels who continuously make tawaf around the throne of Allah at all times and will continue doing so. And when the Haji holds on to the drapery, the kiswa of the Kaaba, with tears flowing down his cheeks, throwing himself against the multism, it brings to mind and should bring to mind the picture of a sinner having sinned against the most kind Allah, the noble, generous master. He now comes to the master, holding on the clothing of the master, throwing himself before his master, tearfully begs for mercy and forgiveness. This brings to mind how people will be weeping on the day of Qiyamah. When the Haji runs to and fro between Safa and Marwa, it calls to mind those who will go running from place to place on the plains of Hashar, assembly on the day of Qiyamah. And they will come forth with their eyes humbled from their graves, like lotuses scattered abroad. كَأَنَّهُمْ جَرَادٌ مُنْتَشِرٌ. And all people will be greatly perplexed and worried as the result of the unbearable and intensifying hardship continues, and the suffering. They will run from prophet to prophet for the Anbiya to intercede on their behalf, and they will come to those close servants of Allah who have no blemish, who have not transgressed or sin. They will go to Adam alayhi salam and say, "You are our father. Allah created you with his own hands. He caused the angels to perform sajda before you and taught you the names of all things. Please intercede on our behalf." And Adam alayhi salatu wasalam will say, "No, I cannot. For what? how will I answer when being asked about eating from the forbidden fruit? Mankind will then be directed to Nuh alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam will say that I'm more worried about my own condition. They will come to Musa, Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam will say, I cannot intercede on your behalf because at the time of the storm, of the flood, I asked an unwarranted question to save my son. Go to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He too will excuse himself. Go to Musa, as Musa alayhi salam too will excuse himself and say, go to Isa. And verily, he also will ask to be excused. He will then refer mankind to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our master sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that will open and begin with the intercession. And the hadith is a lengthy one, which I do not wish to go into at this moment. But what I'd like to illustrate from this is that the great worry and concern that people will have on the day of Qiyamah, running from pillar to post. This reminds us of Arafah. Qiyamah reminds us of Arafah, or Arafah reminds us of Qiyamah. Arafah is really where the reckoning shall take place. It will be one plain with the sun shining from above. And when we look at how things unfold, people beg for the mercy. Sinful ones, every one of us, ask for forgiveness on the plains of Arafah. Qiyamah will also be similar, and that it will just be more frightening and more awe-inspiring. Allah had taken a treaty with us before sending us into this world. Ahdi alast, that alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? And mankind responded by saying, bala, yes indeed, you are our Lord. When on the plains of Arafah, some narrations indicate this oath was taken at Arafah. On the day, on the plains of Arafah, we need to remind, and mankind is reminded of that covenant. The greatest thought should be on that, on the plains of Arafah with regards to the covenant. What pledge was taken from me? And to what extent have I fulfilled that promise? From Arafah, the journeys towards Muzdalifah and back to Mina. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, stated that the vast crowds moving in their thousands, pleading in their different languages, behind their own imams, each busy in their own activities, brings to mind the picture of Qiyamah even more vividly. There two people shall see them very great, perplexed, worried in their great fear and anxiety. We shall see them also behind their own Nabis, moving from place to place. Hence the Haji should adopt the greatest humility and humbleness at these situations. This is how Hajj appears as a picture of Qiyamah. Hajj appears as a picture of Qiyamah, a symbolic representation of what is to come for each one of us. When we look at the Hajj in this light, numerous details become clear and understood for us. May Allah give us the understanding, may Allah give us the realization that when we undertake the journey of Hajj, when we follow the footsteps of the Hajjis in the next coming days, let it be a means of realization and remembrance for us as to what will occur and what is to transpire in the days that are to come and the day of Qiyamah. May Allah give us comfort and ease on the day of Qiyamah and take us all to witness the Hajj a time and again.